That's basically where it sucked me in. And immediately felt that excitement about when I watched that video. Really like to do this full time, because food forests for me are one of the absolute key elements in permaculture and in building a resilient future.
Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. Today we have Sabine Klee. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Pretty excited about it, as I said already, and looking forward to talking to you. Thank you.
That's great. Would you like to give us a quick 60-second introduction, just your elevator pitch quickly, just to be...
Yeah. I live in the southern suburbs of Munich in Bavaria, Germany. And my permaculture journey actually started, I think, around about, must be 6 years now ago, when I first got the idea of starting a community garden in the neighborhood. Because I live in an apartment, I didn't have access to a garden, and that's why I thought, like, okay, maybe there's an opportunity to start a community garden. And while researching this, I came across the topic of permaculture, and I took a course, a permaculture certificate course in Vienna in 2019, which was really eye-opening for me. And basically roll out from there. I met so many people and took a lot of courses, visited a lot of projects. And then 2 years ago, I got into collaboration with a local farmer, and he gave me some land to set up a food forest project that I'm currently developing. And I am redesigning a 1 acre park here in Ottobrunn, in the town where I live, and try to create a permaculture inspired project to reconnect people with nature. And then I started my own company end of last year, and I want to help people get into get a different view on gardening and on how to give nature more room in your gardens, and based on permaculture design, I try to help people get a connection to nature and the natural processes in their own gardens. And I have my first customer since beginning of, what was it? I think we started in May. It's actually a company, and I'm redesigning the company space, the green spaces of the company. And I think that's basically where I'm at the moment. Yep. I'm having a few small garden projects alongside of that, but I'm at.
You're definitely keeping yourself busy.
Yeah.
So let's take it right back to the start. We'll work through all that. Did you say you discovered gardening first or permaculture, or what came first, and how did you first come across the term?
Well, I was very much into gardening ever since I was a child. My mother has a very beautiful garden, and I was always gardening alongside her when I was a child. And then I sort of lost connection with gardening when I moved to the city to study. And that became sort of a... I didn't have much room to think about it as well, because I was living in the middle of the city and didn't have space for gardening. And then it started again when I had my son, and we were sitting on the at the playground, and I thought, like, I need something useful and meaningful to do. And then that's where I rediscovered gardening, basically. And while researching on community gardens, I came across, I think it was a video from Geoff Lawton about composting or something. And that's basically where it sucked me in. It was like, okay, this topic is something that I can totally that where I find myself, and that will be a source of lifelong learning. I really immediately felt that excitement about when I watched that video, and yeah, that's where it basically started. And then I tried to find somewhere where I could take a course as soon as I found out about the permaculture certificate courses. So yeah, design certificates.
That's great. So our children are often very inspirational when it comes to these things. And I understand the rabbit hole as well, because once you start, that's it. It's like you get out of it, you never come back out of it. So then you went and you said, right, so you're doing the community garden. What led you to doing a PDC? Did you just so much YouTube videos you thought, right, I want a qualification? Or was it just, right, I want to learn more? What was the motivation behind the PDC?
It was actually the feeling that this is a place where I could actually belong, and I wanted to learn more about it. And the course was really interesting because it was it showed that there are very different ways to implement permaculture in different surroundings, like, you know, for societal structures as well as gardening and all these kind of things. And that's where I really understood the bandwidth of the topic. And I just wanted to learn more. And it was basically really the start of the network that I developed over the years. So I was trying to also meet people that are involved in these topics. Yeah.
Great. And tell us about the PDC. You went to Austria for 2 weeks, was it?
No, it was three or four long weekends, I think, four days each. So yeah, and that was in, was it two, 2000, was it 19? Cannot be 19, because that's when COVID started, right? I think it's a while ago. it was 2019, actually. Yeah.
And how did you find that format of it being spaced out over 3 or 4 weekends?
I found it quite good because, you know, at the time my son was still quite small, and I was working part time. So getting away for a whole week was a bit difficult for me. That's why I basically ended up with this course, because a few weekends were possible for me as a mom with a child. And and it was good because it was not just only 2 days for a weekend, so you really could immerse yourself in the topics, and the group could grow together very well, and we were all also very excited about seeing the others again a few weeks later. So the bond was really strong after that, and we're still in contact. We still have a Facebook group where we're sharing thoughts and ideas, and it was really, really great starting point for many of us into this journey. Yeah,
that's a good thing to have, that support. Yeah. That support there, and that camaraderie, and the doing the journey together. So so you come out of the PDC, then you're all fired up. And what did you do in the PDC? Did you notice anything in your community garden? What was your experience of saying, right, oh, I'm going to do that when I get out, or when I finish, get out. You're leaving prison or something. Sorry.
I immediately wanted to actually try and turn this whole park. The community garden is in a public park. We have several high beds there. And my first idea was to turn this whole park into a food forest. and I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
We're getting there. But what was really important for me was this different view that you get on your projects, and the focus on observing what's there. And I realized that we're already, for example, we were using rainwater from a small roof that of a small building that's in the park. So I realized that we were actually having a few elements that are important for a permaculture project as well. And I was basically giving free courses to people who were interested, because whenever I was there and people came and were interested in what they were seeing, I was giving lectures to everybody who wanted to hear them. So so we were sharing a lot, and we were also doing plant swap activities there, and yeah, so it was basically understanding that the community garden already was part of a neighborhood network, and getting a different view on things. That was one of the most important take home messages for my first project that I had from the course.
Great. And do you want to tell us about the community, how the community garden came about, how you started that, and how you got involved?
How did it start? Yeah, well, basically we were sitting together with a group of friends, and we were saying, who all live in the same apartment buildings that I live in. So they were basically from the neighborhood, and we said, it would be so nice to have a little space where we could garden. And then I was like, how about that small park that's like a street that's like 100 meters away from our houses? And everybody's like, but how do you go about this? And then I discovered that our mayor actually has a public, how do you call it? You can get an appointment with our mayor and give suggestions to him, or So I thought, like, okay, maybe I have a chance. And I was going there and had like a million of good arguments in my pockets on how to convince him that this is a good idea. And I started out saying, we had this idea of making having a community garden there. And he was like, sounds good. And I was like, oops, totally taken aback. I was so ready to fight for it, you know? Yeah. He was like, good idea. Let's do that. And I was like, okay, then yeah. And that's basically how it started. And then we got together. We had already before we started, it was a group of, I think back then was six families. And we just built those high beds and ordered some soil and then got started. And was really the perception in the neighborhood was really great, because everybody was so interested, and we had hardly any vandalism or theft in the first years. And we still don't have any vandalism, but people are taking stuff now. Basically, I think because in the last 2 years during COVID, we weren't there that often. And but this year we started, a few people have left because they moved away, and now the group has grown bigger, and I think people are there more often, and now the only ones who take stuff away are basically the slugs, so they are still eating a lot of stuff, but that's it.
It's good that your mayor was very open to that. I think it just shows you just ask.
Yeah.
No, ask any.
Yeah, that's why I say ask people. Go to people and ask them about it. I had the best. I always, ran into open doors with the ideas I had, and that's one of the big messages I have to people, because I still don't own land because it's so expensive here, but there are so many opportunities for places to set up projects like this, maybe a community garden, or also find maybe a strip of land that a farmer is not using, and you can do something and cooperate with them. I actually also know other projects here where people just ask farmers, and they said, well, there's a strip of land, I don't use this, that go ahead, do your thing. And that's, don't sit there and frown about not having a place to get started with permaculture, or even, the very first place I started with was my balcony, basically. And so there's always space somewhere. You just need to ask people.
And you've done well in getting that. So what was after then, the community garden? What was your next project then after that? Was that the farm?
Yeah, that was basically it. Well, it started more or less in parallel, that park project, because I already was in contact with the mayor, and that's when the park project started. But at the same time, I had it was when I got in contact with that farmer, and he gave me this. It's 400 square meters of land that he also it's a part behind one of his barns where he's not doing really doing anything. So I was able to start a food forest there. And for me, it was important because we have a project, a regional project, where you can actually rent a bit of a small plot of land from farmers and do and grow your veggies there. But the disadvantage is that those plots are get plowed under in autumn. So I wanted to actually start and experiment with a food forest project, so that was not possible for me. And so it was really a really great gift for me to get the opportunity to get a bit of land where I could develop a food forest project over the years. And that farmer also heard about permaculture. He's very interested in regenerative agricultural practices. He's doing a lot himself, but he didn't have he doesn't have the time to develop such a project over such a long time. So he's always very interested in the progress that we make. And so it's a good learning. We're learning from each other. I learn a lot about about how farming actually works, because I don't have agricultural background. So I learn a lot from him, and he can see what works and what doesn't work in a project like the one I'm doing there.
And so what kind of, how did you go approach putting the food forest in? Did you get it, you designed it? You want to mm-hmm. tell us about that, about install, getting that in and installed?
Yeah, I, the it is quite a unique bit of land, because it's like a little, actually a round sort of, bit of a plateau, because it was a pile of earth that was piled up there. And we basically started with empty soil. But the farmer had planted some aronia shrubs and fruit trees around the edge of it, because he wanted to make sure that the soil is not flying away, or he wanted to give this a bit of shape. And then the rest of it, I had in the first few months, I tried to get an idea of how the structure of the land of the land is, and how the soil is, and then I started planning. And especially we have a bit of a problem with the wind, because it is between bare or between fields, so the wind is quite strong there, and which makes it I realize that it's the plants take longer there to get started than they do here in the between the houses and in the suburbs. So it's a different climate there. And so I tried to the first thing I tried to develop is like a wind breach, a hedge that is protecting the rest of the land from the wind. But we're just 2 years into the process, so everything is like 1.50 meters high or something. So it's still a bit of a way to go. And we started out with a few I don't know how you call them in English, in it's like hedges out of dead branches and wood and these kind of things to create barriers from the wind. And that's basically what we started with. And then I had tried some veggie beds as well, and they went okay in the first season, but then the slugs discovered there's food there. And the second year we had an explosion of slugs. I've never ever in my life seen so many slugs, and that's basically because we started with a blank canvas. There was no ecosystem there at all. And it's, you know, now in the starting of the third season, I realized that we have a lot of, we have lizards there now. We have toads because we created two ponds, and we have a lot of these black runner beetles that also eat slug eggs, and we have centipedes as well. And so I realized that slowly but surely the ecosystem is balancing itself out, and I hope maybe in a season or two I will be able to grow some salads there again. But in the meantime, I was taking a course, I'm in the middle of a course for foraging edible wild plants, and that was really like an eye opener for me, because there are so many edible wild plants there already that I actually knew they're edible, but I never had like the recipes at hand to really do something with it, or I never tried it. So that is really like, for me, that gave me total peace of mind, because I thought like I can wait until veggie or growing soft vegetables is possible. I still have a lot of other stuff there that I can use. And that was absolutely eye opening for me. Yeah.
And what you're doing the course now in foraging?
Yeah.
And what's that? Is that an in-person stuff or online, or?
It's in-person stuff. Yeah. I was at a very lovely permaculture site in close to Kempten in Germany. And we were doing, you know, like the first edible greens in spring. And that was mid-April when the first 3 days of course took place. And then we will have another course in autumn, when it's all about harvesting wild fruits and nuts and roots and these kind of things. So it's pretty exciting and very interesting, because learning how to actually, in what kind of recipes you actually use the stuff, makes it a lot different than just knowing that the plant is basically edible. That was very good.
Yeah, no, it's great, because you have your annual garden, your perennial garden, and now you have your foraging.
Yeah.
you're well equipped for the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So then what, so the 1 acre plot then, when did that come along?
Pardon?
The 1 acre plot? Did you see?
Yeah, the 1 acre. That is a totally different project. It is actually half of a cemetery. But the people in the administration realized that they don't need that much space on the cemetery, because most people nowadays go for have their urns buried under trees. That's like the absolute favorite burial method at the moment, and they don't need that much space for it. So they transformed half of the cemetery into a park again officially. And I had quite a lot of ideas in my head of what you could do with this, and I asked the mayor if he would like me to create a design for it and get show him my ideas. And then he was actually quite happy with the design I came up with. And my basic idea for this was to create sort of you know, let's call it yin yang space. You have like the end of life and cemetery on one side, and then but then on the other side, I wanted to give people a reminder of how amazing life is, and how nature transforms everything into new life and into this amazing variety and that we live with and that we have around us every day and that people tend to forget about. And so one of the bigger projects that we created there was a large pond. That was basically because for me, water is always life. That's always where life starts. And when you put a pond into any space, it will multiply the amount of biodiversity that you have there within no time. And so that was actually one of the biggest elements that we put in there. And I wanted to have healing herbs and edible plants in the proximity of the pond already. And I am creating a food forest garden there as well, just to show people the incredible biodiversity that we have here. Because people always think, like, you know, when you think about edible landscapes, you think about tropical forests and these kind of things. But the truth is that we here in Europe have an incredible amount of wild fruits and edible plants already that do that could sustain us. And getting a feeling for that and having a place where you can teach people about this was one of the main ideas for me. And then I got in touch with somebody who is into medical plants as well. And just recently we created a mandala garden for medical plants as well. And I want, in the next years, I want to extend that one to also get plants that you use for dyeing and plants for fibers, and just to show people that the incredible amount of things you can do with the plants that surround us already. And and then there is an old I don't know how you call it. It's like a wall where you can put urns into, but it's not used anymore. So it's basically more or less a ruin. And they thought, like, you know, they wanted to tear it down, but that would have been quite expensive. So we are now trying to transform it into a vertical garden and just let all kinds of vines grow up and create a green wall out of it, and maybe have some information about what kind of plants you find in this park there. And are the first ideas.
I think that's fantastic. Sort of the circle of life, bringing it in, the contrast between the death and life. I personally, I just want to be composted.
Yeah, same here.
I think they do it in the States. They haven't brought it in the UK yet. That would be an interesting side hustle. They compost people.
Yeah.
Because I just want 8 weeks later, you're handed a bag of compost. There you go. grow some spuds or carrots.
Yeah.
Grow
the best tomatoes they ever had. Your ancestors or your predecessors ever had. You know.
Yeah. Because the way they do it here, it's shocking with the chemicals they basically pump inside you and they put you in the ground, which pollutes the ground. It's crazy. And that's for every single person that passes. It's one of the things when you suppose you get into permaculture and you start studying, you realize these everyday things that we it's not talked about much, the pollution that basically we're putting on the ground and how much we're ruining it. So you mentioned an R project there as well. So that's the 1 acre design. And yes, the company, you're doing the design in the company spaces as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, the CEO of the company during while I was in, I had started out on full permaculture designers training, and I met the CEO of the company via one of my the co-students there, and he was the CEO of the company is very, very interested in the topic of permaculture. And he thinks that, that especially, you know, the companies and industry should make sure that their footprint is as low as possible, the ecological footprint, and that they, if they have green spaces, they should use it in a way that it helps not only nature but also the society that surrounds them. And so we at some point we agreed that I would do a design for them, and so now we are creating different smaller projects on the they have, I think, around about 2,000 square meters of space or something. And also, as always, we will put in a pond there, just to support all of the other life we want to bring in there. And they already have some raised beds where they are growing some veggies and herbs for the employees, and we want to extend this a little bit further. And they had planted 2 apple trees already, and we want to create tree guilds from those apple trees with different also medicinal plants, but also, you know, more herbs that the people could use for teas or for their salads and these kind of things. And then we want to put some raised beds towards the street where people could that pass by could actually also get something to snack while they're walking past. And we're thinking about, you know, some berry bushes and these kind of things where where you can grab a snack while you walk past. And and we want to do a very large portion of the space should be actually a meadow with local flowers. We're planning around about 800 square meters for that. And then we are still thinking about if and how we could implement some animals apart from wild animals into this system, but that's something that needs to be thought through very well with regard to the limited space that is there. And what I definitely also want to do is create a habitat for ground dwelling wild bees, not just, you know, the small bee hotel that you get everywhere, but actually dedicate a space for ground dwelling bees, because that's one of the things that actually really, really worries me, in especially this year. In that park project, for example, the big one, the 1 acre, we have so little bees there, especially bumblebees. I've seen the whole spring this year, I've seen maybe 10 bumblebees so far, and it is really, really frightening. It might be because we had a short episode of, I think, 2 weeks where it got pretty warm in I think was March or something, and then it was very cold from beginning of April until now, and maybe they froze or they died from the cold. But it is really worrying to see the decline of wild bees, especially wild bees in the area here. And I think every person or every company or every institution that has a possibility to make place for them and a place to feed them as well should do so.
Our previous guest hasn't been released yet, but that's what his company is, bees. He's primarily native Australian stingless bees. So that's some of his motivation as well, was to sort of try and promote solitary bees as well. So he wants the diversity of using the hives and promoting spaces. So he's designed this product that you can place in places so the solitary bees can go and live in, which is quite good. And do you provide any other services for these companies? Because it's actually something we're trying to, it's a product we offer is the design company green spaces. And we have partnered as well with a company in Tenerife, Siege for Sustainability. And they're going to provide the reporting for the companies to assist them. They say, well, here's your design. It's a 400 square meters. And then put it under the appropriate language for their ESG reporting and stuff. I think it's the EU, you're pushing a lot. I love the way you're just basically just, you just default on action. You just go out and do stuff, make it happen.
Yeah.
A lot of projects going on there. So what advice would you have given for someone now that you're like, you've got your PDC now 4 years, you're doing different projects. Would you have any advice for anybody coming behind you? Either doing a PDC education wise or doing this now as you're moving into the corp sort of the business world and doing these designs for people?
Well, I would definitely recommend doing a PDC if you're interested in the topic, and then just and then see where the flow takes you. That's basically also what I did, because you will meet a lot of, and be open to the opportunities that unfold in front of you, or not all of the doors that open will be, you know, the right way for you to go, but stay curious and networking. I really networking was key for me. I'm still at the basically at the beginning of my career as a permaculture professional, because it was still for the last years it was basically my passion, and I was trying to learn or figure things out for myself, and try to see as many project or also other project as possible, so that you get an idea of what is the thing that you want to do in this permaculture universe, because there are so many different opportunities, and it's at the beginning it's quite overwhelming when you see this the bandwidth, as I mentioned in the beginning, and then try to find your start by observing the community and the whole field to find your niche in this, because you will not be able to get yourself involved in everything, but when you start talking to people and you start doing stuff, you see what is actually what suits your lifestyle and your the way you're doing things. And I think it is possible to create a professional career out of this, and but networking and staying curious are the two main keys for finding your way in this field, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's very good advice, and then throw in some hard work on top of that.
yeah, that's also. But it doesn't feel like hard work when it's your passion, and that's. I'm so grateful that when I was a child, I was always, you know, already interested in plants and playing. I was always playing to be that I was a witch, and I was interested in all these herbs and these kind of things. And then this, when it came to starting a career and figuring out what I want to be as a professional in life, this was totally out of my mind for some reason. I didn't even think about doing something in that direction. And I'm so grateful that I've actually found this at an age where I'm still, strong enough to get these projects started, you know, and I'm really super grateful that that it has come to me, that the topic came to me, and I'm, that I have the opportunity to do so many great things already to make this, help people develop this connection. And I think that's, for me, it is also one of the most rewarding things, is when I help some friends in their gardens, and when they have these little spaces that they are totally, you know, feel overburdened with, or don't think that it's worth anything because it's just a small bit of grass, and you show them how many opportunities they have in their hands when they have a bit of land. And then the moment when you see that you turned on a little light in their in their heads, and you see how they brighten, how their faces brighten up, and they understand the opportunities and the possibilities that this land is giving to them. That is the most amazing moment in the work I do, I think.
You can see you're very passionate about it. I think we are lucky that we get the work and what makes you so happy. So what's next for you? What's in the future?
Just seeing where this takes me. I would really like to do this full time professionally at some point. I'm also working on doing some workshops that I could probably maybe do during winter time, because as every garden related work in, especially in our climate zone, winter is not a very good time to be involved in gardening when you want to earn money. So yeah, I would have to figure out something there, but I would definitely, I'm focusing on, or I'm trying to build a full-time job out of this for myself for the future. And the projects that I have at the moment will definitely accompany me for the next years. And I'm very excited about where the food forest project is going, because food forests for me are one of the absolute key elements in permaculture and in building a resilient future. And I think also in the direction of edible cities and these kind of things, we need to bring make food accessible everywhere for free is just the best idea. And that's definitely one of the things that I will focus on, is food forests and also going into the direction of edible cities and these kind of, I've started out with a food forest project in the public park already, and I really would like to develop that further.
And you mentioned there, are you looking for a collaboration with an artist co-working space?
That is actually next to the food forest project. There is this artist co-working community, and they have also just started a vegetable garden. And of course, I'm giving as much advice as I can to them, and I already gave them a little tour around their own garden and showed them how many edible plants they already have there without starting the food a veggie bed. And they have spaces for where you can hold workshops, and they have a kitchen there as well. So I would really like to do some workshops there and see where this whole collaboration with them, what we can develop from this. And the guy who is running this this co-working space, he's actually also into he likes to go camping in the wilderness, and so he is also very interested in foraging as well. So there is a lot of points where we can connect and develop interesting projects out of that. So yeah, pretty excited about that as well. Yeah,
that's great. So where can people find you? What's the best place to contact you if they're in Munich and they want to do a course or get a design done?
Basically contact me via my website, which is not fully carved out yet. It is just basically a skeleton of a website, but it's there. And the website is called leguminosa.de. And also you can also find me on Instagram under leguminosa_garden. And that's probably the two places where you connect to me best, or just contact me on Facebook or
I'll put them links, all the links in the description.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to add now before we wrap up?
Have
you missed anything?
yeah, go out there and do stuff and just get started with your, try to yeah, bring your ideas to life, and it's all needed, and we and the world is ready for work like this, and there's never too many people who do this kind of work. So yeah, that's basically it.
Well, that's a great advice.
Yeah,
thanks very much.
Thank you
for joining us.
Yeah, for and, the interview.
Thanks very much to the listeners.
Yeah.
We'll see you all next week. Cheers.
Bye.